Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
Welcome to the Power Up Podcast, your source for the latest tech insights in electric utility design and the energy industry at large.
I'm Corey Burns, a licensed civil engineer with a deep background in structural engineering and engineering technology implementation for the utility industry.
And I'm Trevor Scullion, a tech entrepreneur with over 20 years of experience creating solutions that power the future of engineering and technology.
On this show, we'll explore how emerging technologies, evolving standards, and smarter systems, reshaping the way we think about designing and modeling our energy infrastructure, as well as the broader energy landscape.
From AI and digital twins to design automation, right through to the business of energy, we dive into the trends driving innovation in this critical space at this critical time.
And we're not afraid to ask the tough questions or challenge a few old assumptions along the way.
So plug in and power up. So we have a special episode of the Power Up Podcast today as Corey and I are down in Chattanooga, Tennessee at the annual conference for the SDSIC. And we wanted to kick off our first podcast here with the team from Duke Energy. And Duke has a long history with the SDSIC, so we invited them in to talk about their solutions and the work they're doing over at Duke. So let's do a round of introductions and let's start with Crystal.
Okay. Well, hi. Thanks for having us on. So, Crystal Myers, I've been at Duke since 2016 in a variety of roles. But in the SDS world, I've been in this role since 2021. That's when I really got exposed to substation design solution, where the industry was headed. Background is civil engineering, so civil engineer by education. So that is my first love. A local Central Floridian, born and raised in. Have been managing the design team at Duke for about 3 years now, and we support our entire enterprise. So at least I think 7 states, 4 regions, 5 offices, the whole thing. So yeah.
And the chair.
Oh, and the current chair of the Business Strategy Committee for SDSIC, which has been a huge blessing and great opportunity. So I really enjoy that.
Well, you're doing a great job.
Thank you.
It's really great.
So. Appreciate it.
All right. Here you go.
Yeah, Peter Coffey, and also appreciate the opportunity to be on this podcast. It's kind of neat, and we appreciate the chance to speak to you all and whoever chooses to listen, for sure. I've been with Duke Energy for about 10 years and held several different roles. So came in, I'm also a civil engineer, that's my background, by education. So we're in good company, I think,
for sure. So I heard that civil was the base of all design.
Right. It's the best. Only second to business strategy, you know.
I see what you did there. That's awesome.
Wow. Justin Martin, I was with Duke Energy. Been with Duke for about 9 years. Been with the DAS team for 4 years now, I believe it is. The lead of the AutoCAD electrical portion of it. And I'm just excited to see where we can get this thing going.
And not Randy.
And not Randy. Yeah.
As soon as you say electrical, I think of Randy. I can't help it. And last but not least, Mark Thomas.
Hello. My name is Mark Thomas. I have been with Duke since 2012, previous energy. The substation design for about 5 years, 6 years, and then went to our current design automation tools. And been leading that effort as much as I can to get it done. So we've come a long way. It's been a journey, not a hike, but a journey. But it's all good.
Yeah, it's a marathon, not a sprint, right? Oh, good. So you want to talk a little bit about where Duke's at today and what you guys are doing, what's cool?
Sure, yeah. Duke's been involved from the get-go, which many of the people that have been in SDSIC for a while are aware of. So
Day one
with Southern, Nashville Electric, Automation Force. And so like Mark said, this is really a marathon, a journey. We've been through the valleys and the peaks. And so I would say right now and today, 10 to 12 years later, whatever that range is, we're, I would say, at a peak. So we've been through that adoption where we've got those early adopters that are like really excited about this and helping to drive this across the enterprise. So right now, our focus is building on that adoption and getting newer users in and improving our training platform, our documentation, just refining those processes that we created years ago.
Awesome. Are you guys all in North Carolina or no? Different, different spot?
Just in North Carolina.
Okay. Yeah.
Where in North Carolina?
Charlotte.
That's where I was raised.
Really?
Yeah. I'm a Charlotte native. I was born in Jersey, but
okay.
I only was there for 2 years. So.
You claimed Charlotte.
That's right.
You didn't pick the other one, right? I saw
I'm
you.
A Devils fan.
I saw what you did there. Fair enough. So is there any initiatives you want to talk about with Duke? Like, you guys like doing any scanning, brownfield? I don't know. Anything you want to talk about? Like automation? Right. I don't know. Anything cool?
Sure. Actually, I'll turn it over to my leads in each of the respectives because both Justin and Mark have been involved in two different like avenues. So Justin Martin's been very involved right now in the AutoCAD electrical initiative. So he can talk about that a little bit. But then I'll ask Mark to kind of go through some of the scanning because that's a big thing coming up.
Yeah, so on the AKV side, as you're aware, we have different regions. Obviously, we have the Florida region, Carolinas, and we have a Midwest region. So on the AKV side, I will say our Midwest region has taken this and run full steam ahead with it. We've done a pilot project, actually done a production project, and we're slated to do three more production projects in the Midwest. We have master librarians in each region, and our master librarian in the Midwest, he's taking this on, and actually I just left a presentation, and one of the things that the presenter was talking about is the want to, for the most part. And from the beginning, he said, I want to do this. This is a cycle. Let's continue doing this, even with the bumps in the road, the headaches, and so forth. He never gave up, and he even pushed his leadership regionally to say, we got to keep doing this. Look at the benefits of this. And I'm very appreciative of him doing that. So. Because of that, we have more projects coming down the pipeline, and we're getting geared up towards that. And I'm just excited about it, and hopefully we can get the other regions up to par with that from an AKV perspective of it.
That's awesome.
How long would you say that you've been working towards that AKV implementation, specifically in that one region?
So for me personally, ever since I joined the group, which has been 4 years, but it's always been an initiative even before I joined the group. So we had a previous team. They started it and everything, and I will say, because at that time, there were what they say, you don't know what you don't know type thing. There were some headaches, some decisions that might have been made, say, hey, this was great, and you look at it and I'm like, wow, you know what, we probably shouldn't have done that, because we've done the same thing. I made decisions 4 years ago, it's like, no, we shouldn't have gone that route. Let's do this because this actually works better, and that's okay. And that's one thing I want. That's one thing I would like for people that really don't understand the ins and outs, is that it's okay if you change your mind on certain things, on procedures and so forth, you know, as long as you're still moving forward.
Awesome. So fun fact, Justin was, when you were chair, you were probably my sixth episode of the podcast. You know, you have 3,200 downloads on your podcast.
Wow. Yeah. Look at that.
Yeah, wow. Must be your voice, because it's definitely not me. Definitely you.
All things my voice, because even without updated training, I have my my teammate who's in Florida, Terrell, we have him doing a video. That's the, he has the voice. So.
that was pre-video, so.
Serious? Yeah, I know. No, the videos. Yeah. If I show up on YouTube, delete. Yeah. All right, Mike.
Yeah, so, you know, the excitement that Justin was talking about, that's really what we're trying to maintain, right? We're trying to keep people excited into it. And from an inventor perspective, it was a challenge because we didn't have a populated vault. We didn't have, you know, a regional catalog assemblies developed. And over the last couple of years, we made a huge push and initiative for that. And we got a lot of traction. Especially in one region. Other regions we're getting more traction in, but we have now 100% commitment to Greenfield and P4I in the Florida region.
Nice.
We have two projects that are in construction, One's actually completed, in going into completion.
Floor?
Yep. That we're all done in 3D. So the other regions are taking this opportunity to go through their 2D standards, which has come to prove that there's a lot of errors, gaps, and omissions in those, because when you start modeling it, those become very apparent.
Yeah.
And those are the things that they've been fixing in the field for years, right?
Right.
So they've been drilling holes and
never updated the drawing.
Drilling the holes and welding tabs and all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
The field take care of all the in between work. Yeah.
Well, it's not that. It's the field never told us that we needed to fix it, right?
Yeah.
So they just did it and moved on because they're busy.
You know, when I asked everybody to text me, what was the issue with, you know, if you're afraid of AI, like text me something. Somebody texted me, I'm afraid that it's going to read all of our red lines and realize our drawings don't match. Yeah, that's a good fear. Damn. Yeah. And you know, so this, you know, the podcast is SDSIC, right? It's for all the members and everything. And the history of Duke, I mean, we go way back now. Yeah. Like, you guys defined the first product. It was Duke Energy. We were working with you with Autodesk, and with our friend at Autodesk, David Milks, and we were defining what it was going to be. And it was Duke Energy that drove that, and I don't think a lot of people know that, right, in the early days. And it was always Duke didn't want to, like, no, it's not us, we don't own it, right? But it was the push to get the automation done, right? It was you guys that did it early on.
Yeah, and there was an earlier, you know, SDS initiative that happened in the Carolinas that kind of was the testing ground, right?
Yeah.
It wasn't until the Midwest got involved and they started bringing in some documentation and working with Autodesk.
Yeah.
Rusty Belcher.
Oh yeah.
Was instrumental in helping with that. Working with Imagine It, and then building a real training workflow that aligned with our user guides. Kind of helped set us up for training. We didn't have that populated ball. And I just said earlier, that really was a game changer. We spent the time to model the parts, to build the catalog assemblies, to build the substations. So, and we're not all there 100%, right?
Yeah,
we've got a long way to go. But we've made a huge uptick in the bell curve, so to speak.
Yeah. Awesome. So what would be your advice to somebody in the SDSIC that just came? And I met so many newbies, right? And then walk around, just getting involved. Like, I'm looking at all these softwares, everything. Like, where do you start?
I think a lot of people have hit on this. I know both of Justin and Mark hit on this. Our panelists, I think you hit on this when you were on the panel, Peter, was having that vision, having that, where do I want to see us go? Having that very clearly defined. Because I'll share, just even till recently, we didn't really have a charter for SCS at Duke. It was just everybody had this vision and we knew where we wanted to get, but it wasn't clearly defined. And so we did recently do that. And it's really helped to focus on, okay, what do we need to tackle? Who do we need to talk to? Who are those key stakeholders?
Right.
So any advice is, if you don't have that, that would be where I would start and, like, really have that game plan laid out.
Yeah. Go find a champion, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
Creates that roadmap, right?
Yeah.
And then to have sponsorship along with that from upper management and from the guys on the ground, you know, the guys that are actually doing the work.
Yeah, right. And a lot of folks talked about that, right? It was the, you know, you go do training and then you go back to work and you do projects. You don't use the new software, you have to go back and finish the project. So you kind of lose everything you trained on and move forward. Yeah. Yeah, big issue.
I would agree with that, though, for sure. Like we said yesterday, let your strategy drive what technology you pick up. Don't let it be the other way around. Because it seems to be the theme this year, folks have, in the presentations and then folks talking to me and others, is how do we roll this out? How do we push this initiative forward within our company?
Yeah.
And either selecting the technology that we want to use, that seems to be a question. And the second one is, how do we engage our senior leadership to get them involved? Maybe that seems to be the biggest question, at least from my perspective, that I've seen this year.
Right.
And so it's hard. It's really, it's difficult because sometimes the numbers may not be there. The ROI may not be there, especially initially.
Right.
I would say it's not there initially because you got so, to Mark's point, you got so much work to do to get to the stage where Duke is at today,
right,
for example.
Yeah.
But the intangibles are the efficiency and the QA are astronomical, right? The excitement of letting your new folks, your younger engineers, use a newer technology, more intelligent technology,
right,
rather than the vanilla CAD that's been around since the early 90s.
Yeah.
I mean, those are intangible.
Late
things.
80s? I know you started.
At least 12 when I was last
on. We talked about that.
I hate to say it, so it's really going to tell my age, but I was on release 2.
Oh,
and I went to UCF, and the head of engineering out there put me in a room with a green screen monitor and this big giant box, gave me like a 10-minute go-by, and he goes,
"Hey, wake up. New drinks just dropped at Wendy's. Cold foam, cold brew coffee, and sparkling energy. Both the caramel and the chocolate cold foam are just, ugh, so good. And the pineapple citrus and cherry limeade sparkling energy each have
80 to 120 milligrams
of added caffeine. So whether you need a treat first thing or to just stop yawning already, mornings hit different. To pick up a new pick-me-up, gotta be Wendy's. At participating U.S. Wendy's.
All right, here you go. You know, draw this building.
Like, draw this building.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure out what I'm doing.
Hey, Siri, what is release 2?
Yeah. Alexa, build me a substation.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
But yeah, and I saw everything go from the boards, you know, to AutoCAD, and now we're transitioning from AutoCAD to 3D. And there was always 3D there, right?
Yeah.
And when we started this effort, there wasn't a whole lot of selections, right? There was, you had Bentley 3D, you had AutoCAD 3D, you got SolidWorks. Really nothing for AutoCAD Electrical other than Electrical.
It wasn't, right?
Yeah. Yeah. And now you've got these other, you know, products that are there, P4A and Primtech and, you know, the other stuff. So that's where, you know, management is trying to figure out, well, is this really the right solution? You know, so it becomes a difficult, but here we are, we've gone down this road already. You know,
well, and that's where that strategy comes in.
Yeah.
Because then I think you were going to hit on this, when a new software comes in, you don't want to be distracted by that. Yes, you want to be looking at everything that's out there, but that vision should be the target.
Yeah. And that shiny object, right?
And that should be our job, right? From design automation tools, we should be looking at that.
Yeah, we need to filter that. Yeah.
Not the people that are actually doing the work. We should be vetting that. So.
So what version of everything is Duke on now with AutoCAD and everything? Is it Inventor? What are you on? 2022
right now in Inventor. We're in the process of doing a migration to 2025, and now we're starting to even discuss 2026. Even though it just came out, I'm typically not an early adopter of software. I like for at least that one, you know.
Let somebody else crash.
Okay. Let somebody else deal with the bugs for a little bit.
Yeah, exactly.
SolidWorks is our sponsor. But
and then talking with SBS to make sure the toolkits work. And they're working through that right now, actually.
Oh, it's always a struggle, right? Trying to update and everything.
And, you know, the migration has become huge, especially if you get three versions back, because you got to migrate it sequentially.
Yeah.
Right? So it takes a lot longer if you don't have systems in place to do that.
I think that's a utility thing, though. That's one thing I've learned coming to this is utilities are slow to adopt. They don't want to be at the very forefront. So sometimes our consultants and other vendors are using tools that are more recent than what we have. And so that's a challenge in itself to navigate.
No bleeding edge.
No.
Right? I won't name the utility, but somebody, they put in an updated vault. And I forget what version it was, but they updated the vault, and then somebody checked out a whole substation, checked it back in. Like, we're upgrading tomorrow. Just pushed it all out. Yeah, it's all new now. overnight IT is like, damn, we gotta go. Yeah. No, it's a struggle for sure, right? And like we said, people like the 3D side, like we know, right? It's so much work up front, but the payback is in the drawings and the QA and everything. But when somebody puts in Inventor, they're like, oh, I want a return like overnight. I said, no, it's more upfront work, less back end work.
Yeah, we've got complete solar projects that are just sitting there as a standard, ASY, completely built, ready to go, copy design, substation location. We're going to be doing a test on that. Actually, next week we'll start on that.
Wow.
So,
very cool.
Yeah, we've got a lot of stuff cooking, so to speak.
Yeah, awesome.
That's great. So you mentioned from a personnel standpoint how critical it is to kind of have a champion, have those individuals at those companies. I would suggest to you a lot of people that might listen to this podcast would potentially be those individuals at their respective companies. I can tell you that I certainly have had one at my company that has been a critical component of me being able to implement any of the 3D workflows that we've introduced at Beta. Those kinds of individuals, what would you say to the individuals who are kind of flirting with the ideas of being that champion or potentially might be that champion, but they just don't know it just yet? What would you guys say is that piece of advice to push them over the edge, be like, hey, drive towards this. If there is reward for it. Maybe it'd be there's opportunity for upward mobility at a company if you're that champion, or maybe it'd be you'll just find more reward in what you do. It could be that simple. What would you guys say is kind of that advice for that individual?
So for me, it depends on the level of the individual within their organization. So if it's someone like me, a designer or CAD technician or something like that, I'll tell them, hey, don't be afraid of this tool. Get in it. Just give it a try. You know, like some people may get intimidated by it because they see all the bells and whistles of it and so forth. And it's like, oh, you know, I don't want to try anything new. What if I mess up? Don't be afraid to mess up. You know, give it a try. But if it's someone from our senior leadership level, we're looking at their ROI, and I would say, if you do, you won't have it right away, but eventually you will. Believe me when I tell you this. And here's why you will save that money. That will take some convincing, you know, but that's something that we as a group will have to continue to work with them on to show them why these tools work, why SDS work, the benefits of it, and so forth. Because I know me personally, like what I was saying earlier about drafting on the board, I started on the board as well, moved over to release 12 and so on and so on. And when I first started with ACADE back in 2013, and as I progressed with it, I don't ever want to design with vanilla CAD ever again if I can help it. Because I know the pains that that comes with designing with that, especially from a PNC standpoint of it. I hate having 300 drawings in a job pad. And out of those 300, I have 150 where I have to trace wires on. I will be there for weeks doing that.
Yeah.
I hate it, you know.
Awesome. Great answer. I appreciate that. If you don't hesitate to chime in if anybody else is. I mean, I don't know if you can top that, but.
No, that was great.
Yeah, that's good.
You know, I would just say, you know, we were talking about looking for those key individuals. You find somebody that's excited about it, you really want to rein them in and make sure that they continue to be that positive influence. And for us, we've got 5 engineering offices. So it's really hard for me being in Florida to find that key individual in those regions. Mm. When I do, I try to pull them in. And we've got, I call them anchor positions, and I've said this a few times today, actually, but master librarians, they're responsible for their vault input and their regional build. Mm. So communication with them is key and keeping them engaged. We have meetings, bi-weekly meetings with them. We have, you know, quick meetings that we need to talk about something, and I get them all in the same room and we kind of hash things out. Errors, omissions, gaps, whatever we may come up with, we kind of sort all that stuff out. And then as far as management, to your point, you know, some managers, we have a few that are really, really latched onto this product and really understand how powerful it is. And then some senior management that it's been very visible with it as well. So keeping them engaged and keeping them at that higher level of excitement has been what we try to do here.
I was going to add on to that, and I think Peter's done awesome at this, coming in and helping us connect with some of those senior leaders and have those conversations. Because going back to your point, we can have those end users that are passionate about this and want to do it, but maybe they're hesitant to talk to their leadership, or maybe they're not effective in their communication. So I think it's important for the leaders, for like Peter and myself, to talk to their leaders and have that communication line. So it's coming from multiple avenues, be an advocate for them, even if they don't report directly up under the same organization, be that advocate to help them drive that in their region, I think is important and key.
Awesome. It's an industry of introverts, right?
Yes.
Speak for yourself.
Hey, we're all engineers. You know. They're all stereotyped for a reason.
Maybe the PNC guy.
So I had a PNC guy.
Interesting aside today with
somebody here at the conference. He's a director at a utility in the Southwest. And to a large extent, he feels they're ground zero, just getting started. No design intelligence to speak of in their utility at all at this point. And he feels this urgency to make sure that his utility stays relevant in the industry and that he doesn't get outstripped big time, even by being as behind as what they are, because he's, you know, we see things like AI in the future that are coming at us. We don't know what that's going to look like.
Right.
It may leapfrog all of this that we're talking about right now in the next 5 to 10 years. We don't really know. So anyways, he feels that urgency really, really strongly. So he's asking, how do I do this? How do I get this in front of my senior VPs? And how do I set up a business case and so on and so forth? And so he's the default champion. He has become the champion for his utility, which is really cool. Even being a director, and he's looking at assembling basically a dad's team and so forth. It's a really, really cool conversation. So those are the kind of folks that have been here this week, I think.
As somebody who communicates with leadership at Duke, which, Peter, I believe that you're that kind of individual, I believe. What would you give as recommendation for individuals who might be listening to this podcast who would be in that kind of position or close to that position? What kind of advice could you give them that would give them ammunition to talk to their leadership to say, hey, look, don't expect that ROI that what year one. Maybe don't expect it year two. But the quality, the efficiency improvements, they will come. What kind of advice would you give those people?
Yeah, be honest, be straight. Give it just as it is. We can talk to the numbers. We've got the numbers. Crystal has done an awesome job at putting those on PowerPoints and things like that. So we can speak to the fact that, what was the ratio today? 3 to 1, basically?
Yes.
For a PNC design. So you can do a design in about a third of the time.
Yep.
So,
no,
I
really?
Mean, yeah. So that's a significant savings. I mean, you can speak to that. But don't be afraid of pulling out some of those intangibles and really driving those home and reinforce them. Get behind them and reinforce them. Show that you're passionate about it and so forth. It needs to be a thoughtful conversation. And those leaders need to ask their own questions and probe and explore. So we don't need to necessarily, I wouldn't be a proponent of just cheerleading so much, but be strong, be vocal.
Be honest.
Be honest.
You said honest.
Be straight.
Yes.
Be straight with them
and
lay it out there. You know, and then keep pressing, keep coming back, keep coming back.
I will add one thing, which was very important for us at Duke. Before you, because a lot of the director you talk to, they may not have those numbers yet. They can leverage what Duke has shown, but one of the big things that helped us was those intangibles. So putting together, hey, here's a timeline. Here's where Southern Company is sitting with their implementation. Here's where AEP is sitting with their, here's where the consultants are sitting that we use regularly.
Yeah.
Because talking to leadership, some of them are like, are consultants using this? They just don't know. So bringing that awareness, nobody wants to be irrelevant. They want to be relevant in the industry. And so that was a huge help in those early stages to get them on board so then we could then have those further conversations with the numbers.
Now, also, there's also one little aspect too that's just in human nature. Nobody wants to be behind. So they want to be relevant too, but they also don't want to be behind. So, hey, this utility, look at the list of utilities that are present in SDSSE. And these are the folks that are interested and so forth. And here's where we're at, here's where they're at. And how does that feel?
Yeah.
So, use it as leverage.
Just
play off of it.
And to the point of the consultants, you know, they're waiting to see what utilities are going to do and where they need to be.
Yeah.
Because now there's options, right? They're looking at options. Well, do we pour all of our training into this only to find out that they went another way? So that's really becoming, I've talked to a few consultants today about that. And so they're just kind of waiting on to see what that particular utility is going to do.
Right, yeah, for sure. Yeah, and it's a funny, just a small note. It was, we talked about the consortium where it started. The very first meeting before it became a consortium was Duke. I remember Alan Prevett?
Oh, yeah.
So we were at Duke. That was the starting of this whole thing.
Yes.
And we might have organized it at the airport bar, but it started from those meetings at Duke early on. Like, it was setting the tone for, like, sharing the information, as you said. Try to explain it to others and try to share the information. Yeah, it was Duke that started the whole thing.
Because I know when I first started with Duke, I was with the NDC in Charlotte region, but with the engineering production side and so forth. And Arnold was the one that I originally met. And that's when I first got exposed to it. Because when I got hired, I'm like, my old manager at the time, he said, well, you have an experience that no one has, which was AKE. He said, so eventually I'm going to introduce you to SDS. I said, well, what is SDS? I don't know what that is.
I
had no idea. And that's when I started talking to other medicinal, and I started thinking more about it. I was like, wow, why haven't we actually done this years ago? Like, and moving forward. Yeah. So again, hopefully, with the consortium, and like I said, the attendance at this year's consortium is amazing. It is amazing to me.
Crazy.
It is. And to Mark's point, I've had people coming to me too this week and saying, the consultants saying, hey, what are you guys using? Because we want to be ready for you.
Yeah, right.
And I'm like, wow, I keep hearing that. So we have to be ready for them, so they can be ready for us.
Right. That's awesome. Well, and you think about it, like our first consortium meetings after Duke was like, what, 18 of us? The Autodesk guy was just like, he'd pay the bill. We just went for dinner. And then we could have had 500 people here. We turned away 35.
Those were the good old days.
Those are the good old. We literally went to Nashville. The whole consortium was like, can I have two tables? Yeah. That's all we need.
Now we had a pay to play.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah.
But in reality, though, the SDSC, for me, is the only place that I've seen where utilities actually open up, right?
Yeah.
Everything is, what are you doing and what have you done? And willingness to share is just over the top.
Yeah.
There's no other industry that I know of that does it. I came from the A&E, architectural and engineering industry. And this is mine and you can't have this. Yeah. Don't give them our files. But that's just not the case here. We have a vault. It's a closed vault. But working with consultants, we'd open it up to them. They got to get to the parts in the catalog as soon as they do the work.
Yes.
So the trust is in them, right? Yeah. But that's really what amazes me about this whole thing, is willingness to share.
Yeah. And that was the whole start of this thing, right? It was like, keep it as a TED talk, no sales pitch. Share information, because they could. Right? I came from manufacturing before this, years ago. Man, everyone has special widgets. I'm an NDA. Before I show you my widget, I'm like, really? Yeah. So, you can't share anything. Right?
They're like, it's terrible. Really proud of this.
I remember went to a cement manufacturer. I wrote in Calgary, somewhere in Canada, and the guy says, so we make these molds for these under casements. I'm like, wow. So is it a special cement or something? No, we truck it in. So do you have a manufacturing process? That's it? No, they just trowel it. I'm like, so what do you do? And he's like, oh, you got to sign an NDA before we can forget it. I don't want to know.
We have the mold.
The mold is there. It's Well, thank you guys. So anything else you want to cover? Any other advice you want to do or anything you want to tell the members?
Don't be afraid. Jump into it if you can. Ask the questions. Talk to the quote unquote right people within your organization. Who those people may be, I don't know. Yeah. It depends on organization. But to Mark's point, you find those individuals that are wanting to do it, those go-getters, lean in on them, help get them to help you advocate this to the right people and so forth, because it's a wonderful thing. It really is. I may be biased, but it is.
I would say, just to echo the sentiment that SDSIC is really a great event, and if you're not going to it, if you haven't been, you're missing out. You know what I mean? And we have people that are at Duke that have never been that should be going. We're going to be working on them. So we get more people. And I think we have a pretty good presence. We've had a pretty big presence in the past.
Yeah.
So hopefully things will actually open up even more and have more people attending.
Awesome. Peter?
I would say to somebody listening, we don't feel afraid at all to reach out to somebody, either that's at the SDSSC or just another utility. And I got to give Crystal a lot of credit here. So she hosts a quarterly discussion with a couple of utilities outside of the bounds of SDSSC, just to see what they're up to. And it's a Friday morning call for an hour and a half once a quarter.
Nice.
And so you'd probably be okay if somebody piled onto that maybe. And
absolutely.
Okay, there we go.
That's
so
awesome. Yeah.
So reach out to folks and see what they're doing, and don't be afraid to totally steal what they're doing and go with it. It's okay.
Awesome.
I mean, a lot of these wheels have already been invented, and I think we're happy to share pretty much anything.
Yeah, don't struggle, right? So, I mean, that's one of the things I loved about the Duke team the entire time, right? It was, even if I could share what don't do that. Like, at least tell me what guide to go through, right? So, all right, let's close out with our chair, business strategy.
Speaking of chair and business strategy, now I would just encourage, I know the first SDS I see, I guess, exposure I had was the consortium, but I would encourage others, even if you don't go to the consortium, to get involved in the committees. So go on the website, look at all the different committees, join those committee meetings, whether it's monthly, quarterly. That's where you're going to build your network. That's where I built my network, met other utilities, other consultants. Not only are you learning, but you're bringing something to the table that maybe those others on the call don't know or haven't been through. And so that's huge. So I would encourage that. And then, yeah, don't be afraid to reach out. If anybody's listening, please reach out to me. I'm always looking to connect with other utilities, other consultants, because we've grown a lot in the last year talking to other big utilities, because they can learn from our lessons learned or challenges and bypass them. And then on the reverse, we can learn from what's going well for them or the challenges they've had and bypass those. So.
Yeah, terrific. How about my partner in crime? You want to close it out?
I mean, that is exceptional advice in my personal opinion. It's exactly what I was probably going to say, to be totally frank with you. This information is often tucked away in vaults at different utilities. It's on network drives at different contractors. It's often not immediately accessible information that you can just reach out and grab. And the only way that you can get it is if you ask for it, if you ask about it, if you ask other people about it. So if you are listening, if you're watching, I strongly encourage, ask. The worst thing that can happen is just someone says, no, can't give it to you, sorry.
Right. Which that's rarely it. Happens that, in the utilities.
Exactly, that's it. There inherently is proprietary stuff, but I guarantee if you ask, someone will say, maybe I can't give it to you right here, but hop on this call that we host once a month. You might glean some information that you otherwise wouldn't have. It's a very helpful society as far as the utility industry is concerned, so you don't ask, you don't receive. Just ask.
There you go. Yeah, and Bill Gordon was one that was on the call with the electrical side. Somebody said on the call, I need all your pin lists. Can you share the pin list? He zipped it and sent it to him in an email, like on the call. It's like, all you got to do is ask. It's like, I'll send it to you. It's like, we're not hiding anything. It's like, yeah, we already built it. I'll send it to you. So, all right, well, thanks a lot, guys. It's great to have you here. I think a lot of the entire consortium needs to know where Duke came from and how you guys helped us define the products that we built and everything else. So thanks for being here, man.
Awesome. That's a wrap on another episode of the Power Up Podcast. Thanks for tuning in and powering through the future of energy and utility design with us.
If you liked what you heard, be sure to follow us or subscribe. And don't forget to leave a review. It really helps other listeners find the show.
You can also connect with us on LinkedIn or wherever you find your podcasts, and learn about more episodes, resources, notes, and more.
Got a topic you want us to tackle or a guest we should bring on? Drop us a line. We'd love to hear from you.
Until next time, stay curious.
Stay connected. Keep powering up.